former Raptors 905 head coach, former Raptors assistant coach Jerry Stackhouse joins us on the line right now.
Currently
with the Memphis Grizzlies. And Jerry, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
No doubt, man. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, so I want to get to your new stop in Memphis. Are you eating meat again? Because I know Memphis is known for its barbecue, and that would really be a wasted opportunity if you weren't eating meat anymore and you're living in that city.
No, I've been eating meat for quite a while now, so I'm back to my American ways. Got to have a good steak and a hamburger every once in a while, so I'm in a good spot.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good place.
It's one of those things like, yeah, because like, I don't eat red meat. And you go to someone's house and their mom or their wife makes a special dish and you have to say that no. And I would imagine that being in Memphis and being like, yeah, a pretty public figure and someone that you go to a restaurant, Jerry, we really want you to try these ribs. You're like, I guess decline.
Yeah.
Well, that's a quick way to be unpopular.
So they're known for their barbecue around here. So it's, you know, it's pretty commonplace that most everywhere you go, they're going to have a little bit of red meat or pork on the menu.
Hey, so we do want to get to the Memphis stuff, but I saw a post recently that stuck in my mind, and I know that you're Brandon Ingram's mentor, and I shared a post of he shared a post of you two boxing together, and I mean, that seems like a bit of a mistake. I probably wouldn't want to throw hands with you. I don't think Brandon Ingram would want to throw hands with you, but I feel like he, more than anyone else, stands to benefit from playing with LeBron James from a skill set standpoint. And I wonder if you feel as strongly as other people do that this is going to be the big leap season for him.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like it's just naturally going to be a big leap season for him, you know, regardless, you know, whether LeBron James would have come or not. I just think from his progression of what he showed last year, once he was, you know, really had the ball in his hand, I think he was the most effective. But I think he's got to learn. That's what he's focused on more this summer, is just kind of playing off the ball. Obviously, you know, LeBron James kind of changes the game for a lot of people, you know, and I think he's a guy that, because of his ability to play off the ball and the cut and, you know, working on his spot-up shooting and things like that was, you know, was real huge for him this summer. But, you know, I was, you know, a little bit, you know, kind of 50-50 with it, you know, because I think, you know, you have seen times where not everybody's been able to mesh with, you know, as talented as he is, you know, the best player in the game. Not everyone has been able to mesh with, you know, and play on the court with him. I think Brandon has a unique skill set that it should blend well.
Let's talk about your off season. So you interviewed a couple of places, interviewed with the Raptors, interviewed with the Knicks, and you're a former D-League head coach of the year. Did you feel like you were given a fair opportunity in both places? How did you feel those interviews went?
Well, I think they weren't great. I mean, I felt like I was getting the job when I left both of them. So, but it just doesn't always work out that way. I think, you know, New York, and looking back at it, probably really already had a, you know, in their mind who they were going with. You know, it was just kind of going the formality of interviewing some guys, and hopefully I made it tough for them to confirm what they probably already wanted to do. And, you know, in Toronto, it's kind of felt like I had a you know, it's kind of the next guy up, the progression. You know, most of the, you know, Masai's had a history of guys working their way up, you know, through the ranks. And I think I had done that, you know, from the success that I had in the G League. And it was when they made a decision to go away from Case, I felt I had as good a shot as anyone. But, you know, obviously Nick was there and he'd been in the system. He's kind of had more rapport with Masai than I had. And I think it goes all the way back to when he was coaching in Great Britain or something and playing. Actually, you know, Masai played against his team. So, and I think he's a hierarchy guy. And I think, you know, just him knowing him a little bit better, you know, maybe gave him the advantage over me. But I don't think it was anything or that I didn't do necessarily that I didn't get the job. So I think I proved that, you know, from what I do on the basketball court, how I hold guys accountable, that it could have been a great fit, but, you know, like I said, my mother always tells me, what's for you is for you, and obviously that wasn't for me, so I just felt like I was trying to look for the next opportunity, and then the Memphis opportunity came available. I actually talked to J.B. Bickerstaff while I was going through the process with New York and with Toronto, and he kind of understood that I couldn't make a decision at that point. But then when those things went away, I was, you know, I jumped at the opportunity to get some bench experience, and I think that kind of high has gone. You know, you go get these guys who kind of the hot shot names one summer and get some interviews, and then hopefully the next time around it'll come to fruition for me. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Well, a lot of what you say is why I think that you had the majority of public support in Toronto to become the next head coach, is holding players accountable, and that you do have a track record of that, and you do have a track record of toughness, both mentally and, physically, like both of those things. And that was kind of something that everyone looked at with this Raptors team and thought, maybe they're a little fragile. Maybe they need a steadying hand at the wheel. And so I think even initially when it was first reported as to who was all interviewing for this job, it was like Budenholzer, and then it was Nick Nurse. And I don't think that you were among the very first candidates of the job. Is that the way that it played out? And do you feel like maybe that is something that would have been the biggest difference between you and Nick, is just that perception and that history of holding players accountable?
No, I mean, I just think, you know, from getting, you know, feedback, you know, maybe it was thought that it could be a clash. I don't know. I mean, because I think just, you know, with Cal is a strong personality, and obviously there's been some, you know, some clash, you know, with Casey, you know, over the years. I mean, obviously they've grown to the point to where they are right now, you know, from the standpoint of how they were able to coexist. And maybe it was just, you know, not wanting to have to, you know, battle those demons, you know, because they were inevitably going to happen. I think you have to be strong in your accountability of all the players. Obviously, you know, there's a hierarchy and not everybody's held to the same standard. You know, some, you know, the best players on a team aren't held to the same standards as the 15th and 16th guy. We all know that. But at the same time, there has to be a respect that has to go on to make sure that the culture is what it is on a day-to-day basis. So I don't know if that kind of played a factor. And I can't really get into Masai's, you know, head into what he was thinking with it. But, I mean, I got, you know, from the feedback that I got, everybody know that I have, you know, come from a defensive standpoint. And I think that they maybe felt that I needed a little more polish on the offensive side of the ball, even though, you know, we were right there with, you know, at the top of offensive rating, you know, in the couple of years that I was there. But, you know, Nick was, you know, known more for having a, you know, top five offense. You know, Rex was, you know, kind of given credit for having a top five defense. So, you know, we all had an opportunity to interview. And it's like, you know, it was like those are great guys that I, you know, learned a lot from while I was there. And I think they learned some things from me as well. So it was just a matter of, you know, who did they decide to go with? You know, obviously I was disappointed that I didn't get it, but, you know, I had to be, you know, put on the face and be happy for Nick, because, he deserved an opportunity as well.
Was that ever a possibility, joining Nick's staff here in Toronto?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it just kind of, when Memphis, when it's just kind of tough when you're both going for the same job, and now all of a sudden you have to, you know, settle for, you know, the second spot. It's almost like, you know, probably makes sense to go into a different direction. That's what it felt like from my standpoint. I don't know. I mean, if I would have got the head coaching job, then, you know, absolutely, I would have entertained possibly bringing him on or keeping him. But I don't know if he would want to stay in that situation, and kind of vice versa for me. Never really got had any dialogue, because as soon as it was announced that he had the job, Memphis, you know, reached out, and I was like, you know, I jumped at it, you know, because, you know, JB, like I said before, had already reached out to me early, and for him to circle back as soon as that was announced, knew that he wanted me to be a part of what he was doing. Great, you know, situation here with a lot of young guys trying to build a defense and the offensive style, for him to finally put his identity on the team. He's always had kind of interim positions as a head coach, and now it was his first full opportunity to put his imprint on the team from the start. So it's been really good, man. He didn't come in with any, like, position coaches and no defensive coach, no offensive coach. You know, he went and got guys that he felt, you know, have real potential to be head coaches, and that's how we approach it. You know, we're able to coach on both sides of the ball, so it's a great opportunity for me. And I know that I'll be better served for when those opportunities come around, because in actuality, I hadn't been on the NBA bench before, and that might be, you know, even though I was behind the bench the first year with Casey and was involved in everything from game planning to scouts and everything, I still wasn't actually on the bench. So I think being able to have come back the next time around and have that experience of saying I've been on the NBA bench should bode well for me, hopefully, and get an opportunity to interview in some other places.
Yeah, that makes sense to me, though. I think that should make sense to everybody, is that someone comes calling and they want you and it's for an expanded role, that would be really interesting, as opposed to, yeah, a place that you did get passed over for a job and that you do need to work under somebody that, yeah, you applied for the same job for, and there's probably still even a lack of clarity with that. Even had that opportunity come up, is like, yeah, you don't exactly know what the role is or what the expansion is. Like with Memphis, there was some clarity. I wonder, do you think that the blame was laid properly in Toronto, like in terms of having Casey on the way out and DeMar DeRozan traded? Obviously, Kalamian ends up leaving, you end up leaving. Like, do you feel like things, the progression this offseason was fair?
Yeah, I mean, it's the business, man. I mean, I think they, had a number of chances of added. Obviously, there was a kind of a common denominator in the downfall, which was LeBron James, and he's no longer there. So, conventional wisdom said maybe this is the time that, we get over the hump. But, there's the other side of it that said, well, you had enough opportunity to get it done. So I could see where, especially when you got an opportunity to get, the type of talent in the Kawhi line. I love DeMar DeRozan. I love what he's about. I feel like he has probably the best mid-range game in basketball. But basically, but the way the game has been playing now, everybody's trending away from, his strengths. It's about getting to the basket, getting layups, getting to the free throw line, or shooting a three-point shot. Not a lot of people, schemes are geared to playing in the mid-range anymore. Mm-hmm. So, but and then when you have an opportunity to get, like I said, just a couple of years ago, we was talking about this guy being probably, top three player, between him and LeBron and, probably Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard's name was right there. So I get it, and these windows close pretty quickly. Teams catch up with each other pretty quickly. You see how Philadelphia went from I came out of nowhere. Boston basically was middle tier, and now they're the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference. So you can't really just stay pat. You got to continue to try to improve. So Case did a hell of a job over his time there. He's the winningest coach in franchise history, but at some point, you got to get it done. And at the end of the day, he didn't get it done. So, I can't say whether it was unfair or not, but, to have someone from the, same staff that was right there, part of what was going on, raising a few eyebrows, but at the same time, you just don't know what those inner workings look like. I mean, even though I was close to it, from being a part of the G League, still, you just don't know, what that looked like on the inside. And I think Masai was probably more privy to that than anyone, and he decided to pull the trigger on.
Yeah, so obviously LeBron James is reason number one. The Raptors have not gotten to the place they wanted to get to. But, yeah, that was not the greatest Cavaliers team he's ever been a part of. And, yeah, was pushed to the limit a couple of times in the postseason. I wonder... And then, of course, it's a sweep. The Raptors suffer. And that's, I think, a large part of people's breaking down of how that season went. How much of the disappointment in just last year specifically comes down to this Raptors team and the stuff you were talking about earlier, discipline, maybe some sort of fragility? How much of that was at play for that Raptors core?
Well, I mean, I just think it was some unlucky timing. I think the second unit was unbelievable. I think Fred and what he brought to the table, he bailed that first unit out a lot. You know what I'm saying? And when he got hurt toward the end and kind of changed his rhythm into that series, it was tough. And I think sometimes it's just bad timing. And so I think you come back, he's healthy. Maybe it looks different. I mean, you just that first game, there was probably, 30 possessions there. And if you get stops on a third of them, then you win the game. The game came down to, one basket, and you win that first game. It changed the whole complexion of the series. So it's a game of inches. And when once the momentum kind of swung after that first game, then it was tough to recover from it. So it's like I said, it's just one little thing here, one little thing there, then it could have been a whole different domino effect of how things played out this summer. But, it's hard to look back, now. It's just got to kind of look forward. And this is a hell of a team. I mean, I don't think there's anybody, any coach in the NBA wouldn't want to go to war with the lineup that the Toronto Raptors are able to put on the floor for next season.
Yeah, it's a really deep team, and as with all due respect to DeMar DeRozan and even Vince Carter, I don't think that the Raptors have ever had a player of Kawhi Leonard's caliber on that roster before. You mentioned though that there was some people that were raising their eyebrows about the internal hire after a loss like that, because yeah, man, it was a collapse, and that's why we continue to talk about mental fragility, because you just said you'd go to war with that team, and as much as Kawhi Leonard might prove to be an upgrade, that the bench is it was a super deep team. And it was a team that exceeded a lot of expectations throughout the season. And then, so when you say raising eyebrows, is that guys that were there? Is that the perception around the league? Who do you think, in your opinion, was most surprised by that hire?
No, I mean, I just was saying, I feel obviously it's the head coach's final decision. But you think that, I'm given, as an assistant coach, I'm giving them everything that I got. From the standpoint of something not working, I'm giving the suggestions of what should work. And I think, those guys were there giving them those suggestions. So how much more is going to change? So I think it's just the natural, thought process, to not have, someone that was right in the mix of it maybe come in and be able to get them over the hump. But it very well might be that guy. And like I said, Nick is a friend. He was a coworker. We had a lot of dialogue about the game of basketball and understand he was actually the guy that was, kind of suggested to me of going to the G League and getting that experience because he had a background at the G League. So like I said, I have no ill will against him at all. But at the same time, I just felt a fresher voice could have been the difference, and obviously I thought my voice could have been that.
Yeah, and I think that's a reasonable fear for people. I think that where everyone's kind of looking at it and saying there could be improvement is that, the team's internal growth from the young players, Kawhi Leonard, but just how scary they kind of seem to be defensively, and you as a guy that, like you mentioned, is defense-oriented. When you look at this team and what OG Anunoby is specifically, he and Pascal Siakam, I think, is the two highest upside defensive players on this team. How good can those guys be? Are we talking all NBA defensive talent here, or are people's expectations of them on that end a little too high?
Absolutely, man. I mean, you got guys out there that, and I'm not a real switching guy. I feel you have to be able to play coverage, and then then you can go to switching and everything. Everybody wants to model themselves after Golden State Warriors, but you don't have the Golden State Warriors personnel. You got guys other than Steph Curry. You got all these guys that are 6'8" and long and can switch and can guard and move their feet and can play, people in the post that are bigger than them and all those type of things. And when you look at the Toronto Raptors, they're another team. When you talk about OG and Pascal, and they always said Pascal was the best defensive player on their team. People thought I was crazy when I said that 2 years ago, but he was. He's the best defensive player on the team because he can switch and guard 1 through 5. OG can switch and guard 1 through 4 probably, and now you get Kawhi who can guard probably 1 through 5 again. So you got a lot of switching partners, as I like to say, and when you got guys like that, then you got the the moxie of a Kyle Lowry who's going to fight. You know, he's going to fight at all five positions too. You got, you know, look down the bench at your bigs, other than maybe JV. You know, you've been, you know, that was one of the allure of Serge Ibaka, the fact that he could sit down and guard, you know, smaller players. So they're, you know, they're built in a mold with their personnel to do some things really special on defense. But again, they started out switching last year, became a top five defense in the league. But when it came down to the playoffs, you know, you have a team that was ranked, not that high in offensive rating, even though they had LeBron James, were able to get away with a lot of things that, you know, I don't necessarily feel like they should have been able to get away with. So changes were made, and now it's up to see how they pan out.
For sure. Jerry, appreciate you taking the time for us. Best of luck in Memphis, and enjoy the barbecue. Thanks again.
Man, I appreciate you guys. Thanks.